this 100 years worth of fuel sounds great, right? 100 years worth of fuel, that's terrific. The bad part of that, though, is you've got 100 years worth of a relatively inexpensive fuel. What do you think is going to happen to the incentive to invest in alternatives? What happened in the 70s? We had the oil embargo. And after the oil embargo, we started to make cars that were efficient. They were smaller. They were fuel efficient. How long did that last? Not very long. Shortly after, we started making SUVs. And we've been making SUVs that get, you know, maybe 13 to 20 miles per gallon for a long, long time. So once we see the price come down, we just forget all about the issues and say, oh, let's do what Americans do best, drive a big car. I had an opportunity today to speak to a woman from Pennsylvania. And it was only today that I finally got to speak to her. Her name is Barbara Coyle. Her husband is Jim Shore. And they lived in Bradford County, Pennsylvania, for the last 38 years. As she described it, they were hippies in 1974 who left Staten Island to move to Pennsylvania to have a farm. They had a 50-acre farm. They grew their own food. It was like a commune for a while, and then many of the people left, and they stayed on the land. They had their family on the land. They built a couple of houses on the land. They were, in 2002, they were asked to lease their rights to the gas companies for $25 an acre. I know last week we heard it was quite a bit more. I think it was about $5,000 an acre. But back in 2002, it was $25 an acre for a five-year lease. At least that's what they thought it was. At the end of the 5 years, when they tried to get their land out from under the lease, they were told, no, it's not 5 years, it's 10 years. Fortunately for them, they were able to wait it out. Their land was not drilled on, and they could not fight the big companies. They just knew that it was way too much money for them to fight these companies, so they didn't even bother to try and fight it. They were fortunate, they waited it out, and they didn't have it. 2010 came along, and the companies came in and started to industrialize the entire area. And by industrializing, you'll see some of the pictures I have and what you saw on the video. They come in there. They had a paved road in front of their house that turned to a dirt road because the truck traffic was so intense. These are huge, heavy trucks. Their pavement couldn't take it. The pavement was destroyed. It ended up being a dirt road. Who's going to pay for the repair of that? She didn't mention that to me, but that's what was taking place. She told me that, in her opinion, Pennsylvania government gave the key to the kingdom to the gas companies. In other words, they let them run the show. Pennsylvania was so ill-prepared for this. They did really not much to stop it, and the gas companies were running the show. She told me about Act 13. Now, Act 13 is pretty involved. It has to do with all kinds of regulations. But part of that regulation is a gag order on doctors. Doctors are given the information from the gas companies to treat their patients, but they cannot disclose, even to their patients, what is in that material that's making them sick. She told me of people that were poor, renting a place, and they were thrown out of their homes because the landlord could get more money from the gas company than they were getting from these people. So these people were displaced. They're just thrown out because the gas company was going to pay them more for the rent. She told me about the man camps. These jobs that they all talk about are going to be created are not really going to be created by for local people. These jobs are coming from other states where these processes are going on. So you end up with these man camps, and these man camps have an increase in crime. This is, again, Barbara telling me this. She was on a rape prevention council in her area, and she says rapes and assaults had gone up dramatically. Drug use had gone up dramatically. So these man camps created a big problem.
What is a man camp?
They're called man camps because what you have is you have a large number of workers coming in from other states and they need some place to live. In their area, there were 6 new hotels built for these workers. And these hotels are now kind of empty right now because what has happened is the natural gas prices have gone down so low because of the glut in gas that they're really not drilling over there in Bradford County right now. They've kind of moved on to other places. She said a lot of the crews have gone to oil states to drill for oil because there's such a glut of natural gas right now that these places are losing out. The workers are moving on to other places. We have a problem in New York State, and that's DEC doesn't have enough inspectors to take care of all this. If we don't have enough inspectors to take care of all this, I don't know about you, but I kind of think that there'll be some shortcuts taken, and that worries me a lot.
What was the MIT energy initiative?
So we get to the chemicals. This is rather interesting. So we have a study here. It was documented in Human and Ecological Risk Assessment, an international journal in 2011. So there's a whole bunch of chemicals, 632, used in the natural gas operation. 353s are well described in the literature. And of these, you got 75% could affect skin, eyes, respiratory, and gastrointestinal systems. If you want more, you got 40 to 50% can affect the brain, the nervous system, the immune, and the cardiovascular system, as well as the kidneys. Let's not leave them out. And 37% can affect the endocrine system, with 25% being carcinogens and mutagens. Last week, if you were here, you were told that the DEC is requiring the companies to state what is in their mix. She did say also that they are not required to tell you how much of any of these components is in. And it's very important to know how much of something you're being contaminated with because there is a threshold limit. So they're still getting away with not disclosing that. And that's the important part. So we talk now about water. How much water is being used? 3 to 8 million gallons for a typical well. That's a lot.
1 week.
And that could be within a week. 3 to 8 million gallons per well. Now, I mentioned that each pad could have 6 wells on it, so you do the math, and you're looking at a lot of water. The Susquehanna River did go down, according to Barbara, because of the usage. They're trucking in lots of water to do this. This was a Cornell University study that states 3.6 to 7.9 of the methane from shale gas goes into the atmosphere in one way, shape, or form. It's getting into the atmosphere. And that is very, very bad because methane is a very, very strong greenhouse gas. It is stronger than carbon dioxide. It is really bad stuff. So, we don't talk much. Everybody's worried about carbon dioxide because we put a tremendous amount of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. But methane is also a strong greenhouse gas, and it's we have a big problem with that. That's another subject, I know. And I like to let this speak for itself. This is habitat fragmentation. And you could just take a look at that. These are well pads with the roads, and basically this is destroying habitats. Fragmentation means that the habitat is so broken into sections that migration patterns, habitat loss, ecosystem disruption are extensive enough to cause major changes in the lives of plants and animals in that area, in that ecosystem, causing many to leave, which lowers the biodiversity, which lowers the quality of life in that ecosystem for you as well. Biodiversity is very important to humans and all other creatures on Earth. Without it, things go downhill quickly. There can be some of these contaminants being absorbed into livestock and plant matter. There was an incident of a well leased on the Ferno Experimental Forest in West Virginia. They released some flowback fluid into the air on vegetation after drilling was completed, and they did this because It was an assumption that the flowback met the standards on the permit and there would be no damage. Well, that's not the case. However, there was total vegetation mortality almost immediately after the flowback was applied, and even taller trees dropped 45% of their leaf biomass prematurely. That was a study done by Adams in 2012. So this material is potentially catastrophic to an ecosystem. And you're part of that ecosystem, so keep that in mind. They do this 24/7. They don't stop. As a matter of fact, the woman barber was telling me that what they do for these hotels is that they have the crews sleeping in the same bed. The night crew sleeps in the bed during the day, and the day crew sleeps, it's like a submarine. She described it as what they do on a submarine. The crews are sleeping round the clock, the crews are working round the clock. So you've got night skies being lit up by this. So there's light pollution as well. Economic development is always something the gas industry wants to say. We're going to bring jobs to your area. We're going to make you prosper. Well, Barbara told me that, yes, as the lady, Mrs. Moreau, said last week, the farmers do make out. And she admitted, yes, there are some farmers that did make out very well. They were selling their rights. They were able to get enough money to save their farm, pass it on to their children, or retire from their farming and be, you know, well off. But that's not the whole story. 1.1 million jobs could be created across the United States by 2020. But are these jobs all new jobs? Well, we'll see. Bureau of Labor Statistics said that new jobs in Pennsylvania, 4,144. That's not millions. That's 4,144, Bureau of Labor Statistics. When they decommission wells, they send these workers to other places. It saves the gas companies money to take the trained workers from here and bring them here instead of hiring a whole new set of people here. They're not doing that. We talked about the man camps before. You know, my nephew saw it. Barbara was telling us about it. They're taking people, you know, the license plates were Texas in Pennsylvania. That's what's going to happen. They're not going to take all these people that are out of work in New York and say, hey, we're going to make gas drillers out of you. That's not going to happen. Yeah, there'll be some jobs. There'll be some jobs for hotel workers. There'll be some jobs for the convenience store worker, you know, the gas station attendants and so on. There'll be some jobs. But when these guys leave, where do you think those jobs are going? You can follow them with to the next job, or you can be unemployed again in New York. So, you know, this is something that the gas company's telling you, jobs, jobs, jobs. Well, it isn't quite the case they're saying. Another thing about economic development that I don't have up here, but in Texas, property values were 70% less than if there was no fracking. 70% less for their property because of fracking. The New York State DEC, the General Environmental Impact Statement of 2011 said that we in New York could have 50 to 60,000 gas wells covering most of upstate and southern regions. So it will begin to look like this. If things go the way the gas companies want, it will begin to look like this as well in New York State.